You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Gabrielle McQuinton is a spitfire gal with the experience and perspective to create her own path that is hers and hers alone. I utterly adore this friend of mine, truly with a California chill combined with plenty of New York City grit and honesty. Gabby shares openly and candidly about her own experiences on and off the stage and how each of these experiences has informed the work she wants to do and the life that she wants to create for herself. We talk through the difficulties of touring, the impact of mentors, and deciding when to say no and reinventing yourself. This is Gabrielle McQuinton. You're on.
So you're
on. Is this live?
But it's not.
Can you imagine? Like, for all my tens of thousands of people listening, we are live with Gabby McQuinton.
I know that I went, oh my gosh, but no, we do this, and then it goes, yeah. But if there's no edits, then
we need
really,
to keep.
Yeah,
this.
We need to keep this.
This is good. What up, girlfriend? How
oh my
are
god,
you?
I am just so happy to see you, my baby.
It's. I give a little bit of history with me and Gabby McQuinton. We met. It has to be now, like
oh
seven
god.
Or eight years
it's
ago.
So insane. Time
doing a show and
the Will Rogers Follies.
The Will Rogers Follies, the big hit
at the what Merry-Go-Round Playhouse
when it used to be Merry-Go-Round.
Oh, what is
now
it now?
Finger Lakes like Music Theater Festival.
Oh, they're
or
like
something.
Really bougie now.
Yeah, they changed their name
because like,
we were there.
Full festival.
Yes, we were there like transitional season. Remember, there were all these like weird things
oh,
kind of happening.
Yeah,
such a bizarre experience, but. We were roommates,
yes.
And you were the greatest thing ever. You taught,
oh
you showed me so much kindness. You were so honest with me, and now full circle.
Oh my god! I know. I feel like you're the adult now, and I'm like the little kid.
Not even in the slightest. We're all figuring it out. I'm so
oh
happy
god.
To have you.
No, I'm so happy to be here. This is my first ever podcast, and
people
I
are
just,
missing out.
I just started getting into podcasts recently. And so I'm very excited to be on one.
I go through stages with podcasts too, where I'm either like all day, every day, or like you just don't, you're not fully paying attention because you're
yeah.
like looking at something on your phone or whatever it may be. So I'm happy to hear you're on the bandwagon.
I know. I'm very excited. I can't wait to listen to this one.
Yes. Oh my God, me too. Well, the way we started off every time, we kind of start at the beginning here. I want to hear a little bit about you
oh my
as
God.
A kid.
Okay.
What you were like, maybe like family dynamic, how you found the arts, any of it.
Okay.
I welcome it.
Okay. Well, I was born in San Diego, California.
Mm, gorgeous.
But I was raised in Los Angeles. I should look at you too, right?
That's amazing.
And I was like, well, there's another person
too.
Here. I'm like, should I look at Bia?
Shout out
I want to include
Bia.
Her. Like, we're at a kitchen table or something.
You totally can.
Okay, but I'm going to feel you here, but I'm not going to look at you. Okay, so Brittany. So I grew up in Los Angeles, and I always had so much energy, like an enormous amount of energy. And when I was little, I had two other girl cousins, and I would force them to learn all of my dances and all of my songs. We would have full costumes, and at my grandma's house, we would always do these shows for the whole family. And I was so freaking controlling about it. It's
I
like, everyone
too.
Has to sit, like you cannot get up, and this is what you're listening to, and you're going to like
did
it.
Did you write it, or was it musicals?
It was musicals. Are you kidding me?
I just am curious. I did Cats 87 different times. I played all the roles.
Oh my God.
Don't get it twisted.
No. Oh my God. No, we did actually a lot of pop stuff.
Oh.
Like I remember doing TLC.
Yes.
We were doing like, we were in backwards black hats and white overalls and sneakers and stuff.
Fierce.
And then I remember we did like some like African spiritual moment. I don't know. It really went across the board.
Yes.
Very but versatile. My cousins never wanted to do it, but. Bless their souls.
Pulled them in.
They pulled it together. So I just always loved performing from like
yeah.
super young. I can't remember a time when I didn't love performing.
Mm.
So my parents first put me into, also I come from a family of non-performers.
Yeah.
My dad's a lawyer. My mom's a doctor. My brother's into sports and engineering. Like, I don't know.
Wow.
I'm like the odd seed.
Yeah.
But they put me into dance class, and that's like when I really started thriving.
Mm.
And that was maybe I was like six or something.
Mm.
But I also loved sports growing up. I did sports too. I kind of dabbled into everything, but
yeah.
the arts was what always stayed. And then I got put into this musical theater summer camp in Los Angeles called the Children's Civic Light Opera. And it was a summer program that you put on musicals every year, but it was full out musicals.
Mm.
I mean, I was eight when I first started. And, you know, we had full lava mics and, you know, wigs, costumes. And I mean, it was expensive.
Yeah,
like when I look back, God, my parents like really invested in my arts education and performance.
So special. So
thanks, parents.
Yeah,
I know.
Thanks,
I need
Mom
to tell them
Dad.
Thank you. You know what? Tell your parents more often how grateful you are for them and how thankful you are for them. Because I forget. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, when I've done, you know, shows in my professional career, you know, my parents would follow me on tour. And I was like, oh my God, my freaking parents are here again. Oh my God. And now I'm like, what a freaking blessing. Yeah. Now it's like, I feel like I need my parents in the audience or I can't survive.
I love that. That's special.
I know, I just
kind of
realized that.
Dad.
I know. Love you, Mom. Sheila and Greg. I love
Sheila and Greg. It's for you.
Just for you.
But so they invested. They found good opportunities for you.
And I think I was so stubborn. And I think my parents always knew she's going to do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Like no one could really tell me what to do, which I'm working on being a better listener. But I feel that I always knew what I wanted to do. And once, you know, I know what I want to do, it's just no one's going to take me off that path.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did that musical theater summer camp for like 5 or 6 years.
How old were you?
Like 8 till 13 or something like that.
Okay.
And we just did a million shows, like Little Shop of Horrors and Grease and Crazy for You and Annie, Damn Yankees.
Across the board.
Everything.
Yeah.
And that's where I went, oh, this is what I'm doing.
This is what I'm doing with my life.
This is what I'm doing. And I met some of my lifelong friends, like still my best friend in the whole entire world. We met at that summer camp and we're still best friends to this day.
Oh, wow.
So that camp really, that I'm so grateful for that place.
Does it still exist?
It does not. Mm. I think, yeah, no, it doesn't. It lasted for a bit afterwards, but I think everybody kind of just started doing their own thing. And I know the director of the program, Diane Feldman, she works at different schools now, but she's still doing it.
Careful
and stuff.
With this thingy,
I know.
Sorry.
Stop doing that.
I
Don't
know. It just
it.
Resonates.
I know you're so right.
I hit it too.
And I hear it, but I just want to just keep
You're
going.
Like, keep going. I got you, girl. That's so much. I love that.
And yeah.
So obviously you had that connective moment of like, this feels good. This is good. Did that change kind of what, if you were into sports and all those things beforehand, did you really hone in on what you were doing or you were like, I could still do it all?
I mean, I probably, in my mind was like, I can still do it all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still going to debate, be on the debate team, and I'm still going to do sports. But then when I went to high school, I'd gone to Catholic school my whole life. Mm. And so.
Sounds like a blast.
It was a blast.
so
I have a good foundation, good foundation, good moral compass, I will say. Very grateful for my Catholic education. I'm very grateful for my childhood for that. When I went to high school, I went to this all girls private Catholic high school in Bel Air, like bougie ass place in LA. And, you know, at the time, I don't think I noticed this. Not that I didn't notice it, but I didn't think it was the issue, but there was no diversity at that school.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally was all like blonde, blue-eyed white girls, like who I love.
Totally.
But it was literally, you know, maybe 3 black girls in the whole school.
And I went to a school like that as
well. Yeah, and I just felt so uncomfortable all the time, but I don't think I really realized at the moment because race hadn't been like a lot of a factor for me growing up per se. So I was like, oh, this is fine. But then I went, why do I feel so uncomfortable all the time? And I started doing the talent shows and that kind of like got me through, but I went, this school has no arts program. I'm like, this isn't going to get me far. And I went there for volleyball because they literally had the top volleyball program.
Oh,
like,
wow.
In the entire world.
Catholic school.
They had the best volleyball program. Yeah. But they were so good.
Yes.
And I tried out for the team, and I definitely don't think I made it. And I went to this camp, and I loved volleyball, but I just was not good enough.
Yeah.
I really wasn't. And, like, I don't think I've ever said that about anything I've done.
I feel like I'm usually kind of amazing at everything.
Usually,
so.
I think I'm good enough. But I said, this is really not for me. But I think at the time, awesome. I still didn't want to accept it. I was like, you know what? Screw them. You know, they're not putting me on the team.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
But so, you're like, not for me.
Yeah. I was like, not for me. I really don't care enough about this. And then my dad showed up. I would cry every day after school. And my dad is very like, you're going to do this. You signed up for this. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
He's like, go to practice. And I would just cry. And I was so mad. And then I walked out and I said, I'm not going back to that school. And this was the first semester of my freshman year. I didn't even get through the whole year.
Oh my God.
And my dad said, there's this public arts high school in downtown Los Angeles. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to go there. Cause I'd visited and I felt like everyone was so unique and weird. I'm like, this isn't me. And then I'm like, years later, I'm the unique weirdo. And I went to one of my best friends from childhood had gone there. And some of the people from my camp had actually gone there too. But I was like, oh, I don't know. It was on a college campus. I'd never gone to public school. Like, it just felt so different.
That's a lot. Yeah.
It's a big change. But he said, just audition. Just go. And I was like, oh, fine. And so I auditioned. I got in. They accepted me. And I ended up going there my second semester of my freshman year. And it ended up being amazing for me. It ended up being like, I met so many amazing people. And you know, we did academics during the day and then we did arts during the night. And I fell more in love with musical theater because they had their own musical theater program and it was super legit. And just the talent there was so incredible. And they had, you know, like the dance program, the theater program. And I was in the theater program. And then they had the music program and the visual art program. And it just was an amazing place to go to school. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're on a college campus and, you know, it was a lot of different kinds of people and, you know, a lot of drugs and a lot of that stuff going on. So it was stuff that I was like, oh my God, what is
you had
like,
just come from
I'm like, I'm 15.
An all-white Catholic school.
Yeah. I'm like, what is happening?
Who are you people?
But I'm very grateful for it because it definitely taught me a lot.
Also, the Catholic schools in my area did the craziest drugs.
Oh, I bet.
Isn't that weird?
See, I bet these girls were like, you know, doing blow in the bathroom. But
this was more like in your face.
Yeah, there people like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, I'm going to sit in the hallway and just do whatever. You can join if you want. Yeah. You know, I like literally saw people get handcuffed on campus and we would have drug checks all the time. Like people would come in, okay, take your backpacks out. I mean, and I was not doing drugs, but I was like, am I doing drugs?
Yeah.
Like I still was terrified.
I'm not totally sure.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe I do have drugs in my backpack or maybe someone planted them in my backpack. You never know.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, I know people would be shady. So
was everyone, you know, are obviously some, I think like being the weirdo or being artsy in certain communities like can lead to like experimenting and whatever. So I'm sure like a lot of kids were just looking for ways to like be artistically
outlet,
engaged and whatever. Did you find like you were just really hyper-focused on your work or were
you? I actually feel like I had a good happy medium,
cool.
to be honest. I felt like I was super focused on what I needed to do, but I also felt like very open to explore things and experiment. And I felt like so many of my friends, which is, I feel like this is like to my life to this day, like I've always been focused, but I'm friends with people who are very exploratory and like very into like things that I'm not as, like I'm kind of like scared to try.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I have the in that if I want to do that, I can, but I also feel like I have my foundation that keeps me like grounded in what I need to do. But I think having that outlet makes me feel more free knowing that it's a possibility.
Sure.
So
you're at school and realizing that this is probably something that you're going to go to college for? Are people talking about that? Is it, did you have a teacher say to you, hey, here's, you actually can do this and like, this is what?
I don't know if people said like, you can actually do this.
It sounds like you were like, telling yourself you could.
Well, I guess maybe I could. But everybody, I think there was, everyone there, I mean, you had to audition to get in. I think everyone there was like, I can do this. I'm here at this school.
Yeah.
And I think once it came time to college, a couple people who I just looked up to from either childhood or from growing up at the musical theater summer camp, they had gone to all these different schools. Like I had a friend who went to CCM and then another couple people I looked up to were going to Carnegie Mellon. And I was like, I really admire them. I'm like, I want to go to that school. Hmm. I'm like, I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about Pittsburgh, but I need to go to that school. And so I applied to maybe like, I don't know, five schools or something, all for musical theater. And awesome. I knew, I'm like, I'm going to college for this. I know I want to be on Broadway. I know this is what's happening. And
Clarity.
Yeah. So I ended up getting into Carnegie Mellon but I cried because I applied for the musical theater program, but I got into the acting program instead.
I don't think I knew that.
Girl, yes. Me and Kaylee Cronin. This shout out to Kaylee Cronin. She was also in my class. We both got in for acting, but they were like, no, 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 not for musical theater. But yet we're the girls in our class who are doing Broadway shows.
Yes. Oh, my God. I had
that's
no
people don't always know.
So did you realize? So Carnegie Mellon, right, like is this it's like someone somewhere like holds up like a golden ticket to Carnegie Mellon. That's like this thing in our industry where everyone like glorifies
this place.
Well, it's
so bougie now.
It's so interesting,
right? It's so bougie.
Did you realize it wasn't like that when you went?
Not at the time. Like I knew it was a special school and I knew it had amazing training. Like what I will say about Carnegie Mellon, you know, like forget all the, I mean, it's great with the Tony Award and, you know, they got commercials. Like one of my friends the other day was like, your school, y'all in commercials and shit. And I'm like, I don't know what is happening. But, you know, they're very proud, which I get. And people are doing really amazing things. But I always go back to that school with the training. I'm like, it just has really great freaking training. And me and Kaylee, actually, it's so funny because now I'd be like, oh, I'm so honored that I got in as an actor.
Yeah.
Because like their program is very focused on acting. And then, you know, hopefully you can sing and dance and figure it out.
Also, that should be like the base of all
exactly.
of it,
right? Like in all of our actors could sing Anyone Under the Water musical theater. So it really didn't matter. Like we all were basically in the same boat.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, God, I was such a fucking brat for like crying about that. Are you freaking kidding me? But anyway.
But I get that. And I mean, it is a intense process. And I think I auditioned probably between 8 or 10 schools.
Yeah.
And waiting for that mail to come.
Oh, my God.
Waiting to know, like, what you're finding. And then you have, like, your deadline of when you have to, like, let schools know. But then you're, like, waitlisted at places.
Yes.
And you can find out about those, like, in the first week of school. Like, it's intense. So, I had my bratty moments as well. You're not your best self when you're auditioning.
You're really not.
For colleges.
Yeah. Woof. All the
big
claws
woof.
Come out. Yeah.
So you ended up there for acting.
Yeah, and then me and Kaylee both re-auditioned our freshman year. We both got in for musical theater.
Oh, funny.
And the teachers to this day will say, like, no, that didn't happen. I'm like, no, it did happen.
Oh, my God. What do you mean they say it doesn't happen?
Well, they won't say it didn't happen, but they'll be like, that was a mistake or something. I'm like, no, I honestly, maybe like it wasn't that great of an audition. I don't know.
Also, that's funny just because like it was so simple for you to re-audition to
I know,
get
it's
in,
so
but then
funny.
They put you in a...
It's just funny how like things work out.
Yeah.
You know, and like people like probably came then dropped out, you know, stuff like that. But we both got in and then it was that freaking crazy school for 4 years.
It's pretty intense.
Huh? I mean, it's so intense.
Yeah.
I mean, college already is so intense. But being in a drama conservatory, like I almost want to say I would not recommend it.
Yeah,
but
I hear you.
I really am I'm so happy I went to a conservatory that was on a college campus.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have taken other classes. I wish I would have taken like a business class or something else. Well, you did.
Well, I nailed
like,
it.
I took that.
Well, I also, my dad, and now the irony, like, it, you know, there are certain things where your parents definitely have perspective, but, or your mentors or whoever your figures are. He was like, I will support you going to school for theater and pursuing this, but you can't go somewhere you can't get a minor. So anything that was just a conservatory was out, which honestly, I work very well with boundaries. I've noticed like
you are. You're good with boundaries.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think
so poised.
As I've been wedding planning, I realized how.
Congratulations,
oh my God, thanks.
By the way.
Thank you, friends. It's a crazy freaking industry and process. And the less boundaries I had, the more out of control I was getting.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, well, there's 50 states and you can get married anywhere.
Yeah.
And then like you're just trying to figure out like what's happening and
totally.
If it fits in your budget. So I think it was actually a good thing. And then I knew I could get a business minor and that I knew at least at some point that was going to benefit me. So I do hear you on that. But I even wonder at points now, I'm like, wow, if I could go back to school, what degree would I get?
Now it's so important to just dabble in everything.
Yeah.
You know, the more, you know, I think growing up, it was so arts based and I guess I still always feel like I had a good balance between like my personal life and between my jobs and between school and all that stuff.
That's
I think
great.
That is one thing that I have been able to keep pretty grounded, thankfully. But I do wish at school that I would have kind of expanded a little bit more. But at the same time, we had no time.
I was just going to say, conservatory style. And when are you going
to
do that?
And you have so much homework. You have so much stuff to do. And then on top of just the homework, it's all performance-based.
Yeah.
So it's the extra pressure, extra anxiety. You're performing all the time.
Yeah.
And, but I'm so grateful for that freaking school.
Good.
And my class is truly my family.
I remember you saying that. And I think that's such a special thing that you walked out with this really
Oh my
awesome
I mean,
mean, supportive when you're community. With,
our class was so small. So, I mean, we had like maybe 22 people.
Yeah.
And that's with acting and musical theater students. And, you know, you're together for 4 years. You're, yeah. They've seen you at your worst. They've seen you at your best. They know you so well. And, you know, there's people that I don't really talk to as much anymore. Sure. But I know even yesterday, one of my friends from my class, I probably haven't seen him in years or something, or we haven't really talked. And he's doing a show right now at Berkeley Rep. Mm. And I just did a show at Berkeley Rep last year. And he was wearing my freaking mic belt.
Oh, yeah.
And so he like sent me a photo and I went, oh, you know, you could just pick up like that, yeah. which is what's so nice. And that's where I think, you know, you have solid friendships. Yeah. Like no matter what happens, you have that foundation and it keeps you going.
And I'm curious too for, you know, I love talking about education on this. So
yes.
When, for your training, did you find that you were learning just how to create art, or did you find you were also, you know, monitoring the industry, figuring out where you fit? I don't know actually how, I think every program is different.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know what it's like at Carnegie to, I think a lot of schools like want to put pigeonhole you and put you into spaces. Yeah. So I'm just curious like what that was like for you and if you had a clear idea of where you fit in the industry, if you fit, or what you wanted to create if you didn't fit.
Oh, girl, yes. I love this question.
Oh, good.
Well, first of all, even if they tried to put me in a box, it was not going to happen.
This is what I love about you.
It just is not going to happen. I'm not a type. I don't believe in types. Mm. And that word drives me freaking crazy.
Yeah.
And I think at school, that's why I had such an amazing time, because I'm like, I want to do everything. Mm. I don't care. Even if you see me as this one thing, I'm like, I can do this too. And I did feel like I had great opportunities for my teachers to dive into everything.
Awesome.
And I think we all did. I think we got to play like old women and then, you know, different like Shakespearean stuff and different dialects and all different types of roles. They really wanted to stretch you. That's what was so amazing, because I feel very like my cool. training there was about being the best actor you can be. It wasn't about necessarily working in the business. It was about, who are you going to be as an actor? Let's get your skills together, get your dialects together, know all your Shakespeare stuff, your Chekhov stuff, your Restoration comedy stuff, you know, and I'm so thankful for that, because they gave us the most amazing toolbox.
Yeah.
And I think these days, you know, you don't always have the toolbox. You know, it's like we have all this crazy stuff with colors and elements that animals that I dive into in different shows I'm doing. And at school, I said, really, you want me to be a freaking sloth right now? Which literally was my animal. We do animal projects.
That's hysterical. And you have to like the opposite of you.
Yeah. You're like, understood. New. That's the opposite of you. Yeah. And I was the fastest moving sloth ever. People are like, oh my God, Gabby, you cannot slow down.
You're like, that is not a sloth.
No, I was just like, oh, I need to move.
Yeah.
God, stop keeping. But it's about stillness, which, you know, I will be working, you know, on for the rest of my life.
Yeah. That's important. Yeah. I love that that was your experience, because I think that is like, I was someone who did not, I wanted to be a type. Now I'm rebelling against all of it. However, I was very empowered by feeling like I belonged in a spot. You want to feel needed. You want to feel like there's a place for you. And I think there was something where I was just like, I'm going to only ever do the irony of all of this saying it out loud now. Like, I'm only ever going to do like revivals and showgirl and this and that. And now so much of like what I don't want is like, resurrecting those words.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think at 18 years old, I just wanted to know that I belonged in the industry.
Of course, because it's so hard.
Yeah.
And it's just, you have this one goal in sight. And then once you actually get into it, things really start to change.
Exactly. Once you're like inside of it, you see the cracks and you figure it out.
Yeah.
So I love that you had like a clear sense of, you know, what you were, what you wanted.
And I think there's definitely, I'm sure, I think a lot of people at school would probably say that they did feel that there were a lot of types. And I know that did happen at times, definitely to people where they, you know, could say things that were probably not in service of them in the best regard. And probably, you know, you should do this, you should do that. But for some reason, that doesn't stick out in my brain as being my experience. And I think that's why, like, out of school, I never had like a certain show I wanted to be in. Mm. I just kind of knew I wanted to perform. But I didn't, people always will ask, what's your favorite musical? What's this? And I'm like, I don't know. Mm. I'm like, I just want to do cool, crazy, great roles.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kept me open to doing different things. And every time I book a show, I'm always so surprised by what show I'm doing. I'm always like, oh, like I never thought I would do this. you know, which has been kind of cool.
I love that.
As now I'm getting older, now I feel like I'm starting to have a clearer sense of more things I want to do. Where before I felt kind of like, well, whatever the universe takes me, you know, I'll do. But I think now I'm getting to a point where I'm like, no, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is the kind of stuff I want to do.
Yeah. Well, I think like the current climate too, like informs that, where all of a sudden, like we get more specific about what's wrong. And then in turn, we get more specific about what we want.
Totally.
You know, and especially obviously having done what you've done, you check boxes, you go, oh, I've explored that type of person.
Definitely.
I want to explore this type of person now.
Yeah.
So when you graduated, what was kind of your, were you right away in New York? Had you been kind of working through school and ready to like dive headfirst, or what was that like for
you? Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to do a lot of summer stock during college. So that's why I got my equity card. And
did you do Pittsburgh
CLO in the Muni? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved Pittsburgh Civil Light Opera. I like the Muni too, but I like Pittsburgh better.
Hey, PCLO. Shout out from Gabby McQuinn.
I just love Pittsburgh so much.
Yeah.
But so that kind of, that really got me into the kind of doing, you know, a bunch of shows and learning a show really fast. And
were you scared of taking your card, or were you like, nah, I'm good?
No.
I like that.
That's, it never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
I think I just blindly did things when
that's
I was younger.
The best.
I just was like, okay, yeah, let's go. I wasn't thinking of, well, if I do this, then I got to do this. Where now I feel like I'm more like this.
Sure.
Which I'm like, I don't know what's better or worse.
Yeah.
But each serves their own purpose.
Exactly. That's very true.
Yeah. So I did that. And then once I graduated, I knew I was going to go to New York.
Yeah.
You know, I toyed with the idea of LA because I'm from there and I love it there so much. I love the lifestyle. But I just was like, I want to be on Broadway.
The work's here.
The work's here.
Yeah.
So I did that. And I, after showcase, because we do showcases in LA and New York, where, you know, we do our work for agents and casting directors. And I was lucky enough to get a bunch of meetings with different casting directors and agents. And so I got brought in for American Idiot for the first national tour. And that was one of those shows where I went, Green Day? What? No.
That documentary rocked my world.
Oh, you know what?
One of...
Wait, have I watched it?
I'm gonna Oh my God. I think it's on Amazon Prime, maybe.
Is it new?
No, it's a few years old, like 5 years old. Because I went to a premiere of it when I was interning with a company during college. And
it's on Amazon Prime?
I think. It's on some platform, but it's about the Broadway production.
Yeah, I feel like I must have seen. Yeah, I feel like I must have seen it.
If you haven't, we gotta.
Okay,
we gotta get that.
Okay, we'll have American Idiot.
I literally sat there and I was just like drooling.
It's
so good.
So
cool.
It's so good. I mean, that was one of those shows where I went in being like, I'm not a punk rock girl.
Yeah.
Like another thing where I'm like, that is not what I do.
Yeah.
And then I got there and I went, oh, this is what I do. Yeah. Or this is what I can do.
Yes.
And that show, I mean, literally have it tattooed on my back. Like, I never, it's like those things, you're like, I'm never going to get a tattoo. I'm never going to dye my hair, like all
I
this
hear
stuff.
You on that.
And you just transform. Yeah. Definitely got a little lost in myself.
I get it.
When you're 22 and on the road with a bunch of young people doing a rock and roll show,
it's like the second coming of Rock of Ages. Yeah, I get it. It's like, it's just a crazy thing.
Yeah.
So that had to be an insane introductory moment.
It was insane. And to be honest, it was really hard for me.
Yeah.
Because I knew how to perform, but I didn't know how to deal with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So like the anxiety and the pressure of, you know, performing in front of all these people and being in a very intense show and how to take care of yourself. Like, I didn't know how to take care of my voice or my body. Like, I was just screaming all the time and just throwing my neck out. And no one told me. And that was, I think that's the one thing about school is about to pray. I hope that they are preparing kids more on how to deal with the demands of the industry and just the other things you can do, you know, when you're not working and how to really take care of yourself, because people don't talk about that. And I'm having more and more conversations with people where they're talking about the insane anxiety they felt and how you can do a show for a year. Then all of a sudden you're like having panic attacks before you go on every day. And I was doing shows with legends where they were like, I'm taking, you know, beta blockers for every show. And you think everyone is so cool and calm and collected, but it's really insane what we do. It's so insane. And I think people forget that sometimes because, you know, we make it look so easy because you've trained for it. You've done it for so long, but it's hard for people to even public speak, you know, or even sit here and do this with you, you know? So getting up there in front of those people and bearing your soul, it's so vulnerable and it's so hard.
And then add travel elements.
Yeah,
on top of
you
it
need the skills. Yeah. And I did not have the coping skills. Mm. I did not know how to. And I got so lost. And also being such a young actress,
yeah,
I didn't know the boundaries of like real life and what I was doing. You know, I was just like, I'm this person.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're just like, I am her. I am what's her name? Yeah. You know, this is my life. And I'm like, Gabby, no,
you
this
are
is
not,
not
what's
you.
Her name.
Yeah. It's like bringing out a part of you, but this is not who you are. Mm. And, that is something that I've learned as I've gotten older. I'm like, oh, I'm not the characters I play. I'm like using parts of myself, but boundaries. Oh my God, boundaries. That should be the title of this podcast today. Boundaries.
Done and done. Write
boundaries.
It down. It's also
with a capital B.
Yeah, all capitals, every letter capital. I love that you said that too, because we'll talk about that within like, you know, people that you have to fall in love with on stage or people you have to hate on stage or whatever like the connection is. It is so complicated.
It's so complicated.
And you learn, like, I think as you gain more experience in it of, like, what's real and what isn't.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And maybe, like, I think falling in love, too, is, like, this, you know, those first, like, couple weeks or months of it are, like, drug addicting moment of, like, this high where people are often looking to repeat it. So sometimes show gives you that. And it's
totally.
You and then you, like, come
feeling.
Down.
Yeah. It's, oh, my God. It's so true.
I've talked to so many women about that. And yeah. I think it's like a fascinating thing to hear about, you know, being from my perspective of
yeah.
mostly like ensemble work like that, you know, you're playing around with like most yeah. of the time, like your gay friends in the back.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
in that capacity, you know, it's very interesting. And when you just said that about like maybe it's releasing a part of yourself, like you do discover parts of you when you step into those
roles.
You definitely
do. I think so, too. You like step into, you know, the parts of you that haven't been examined or, yeah. you know, which I think is a really important thing because maybe it wouldn't be examined otherwise.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's so amazing about being an artist is right. that we get to tap into all these things, even if, you know, nothing comes out of it afterwards, you know, just kind of exploring that. It's yeah. a safe way to explore those parts of yourself.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's very grateful. I'm very grateful for it. You just got to have the boundaries and a lot of therapy.
I mean, a lot of therapy. And I remember my tour, I went to Pace and I remember touring the school and the tour guide, which now I have no recollection of who this person was, but I would have to imagine he was in the program. So I'm like, I don't yeah. know who this person was, but he said, he was like, if you don't have a therapist and you're an actor in New York, like, what are you doing? And I was like, all right, whatever. And it's so real because it's one of those, like, you won't have the skills
what
to
are you
succeed
doing?
In your like mental health.
I mean, I know it's scary and stuff, but I talk ad nauseum. So for me, I guess with therapy, I just could not wait to talk to someone.
I felt the same way.
I just was like, thank God I can just keep talking.
But then I felt like I had to apologize. I was like, oh, sorry.
I'm talking so much.
Yeah, or like, I'm talking a lot, but like, oh, is it okay if I talk about this? Like, you know, not so good part. And they're like, you're literally
yeah.
paying me to talk
no,
about it.
I say like, oh. everything. I hold nothing back. Even the things that I'm like, she probably doesn't need to know this, yeah. but I'm just going to get it out because it's better out than in my head.
Exactly.
But I mean, therapy is just so important because how do you be a great actor if you don't know yourself?
Yeah.
If you aren't examined in the parts of your life, you know, it's just harder, I feel like, to release as an actor and really go to those places if you don't really get in touch with yourself.
And if any actor wants to say that there aren't like resources or that
oh my
like
God.
Financially, there are so
There's
many.
So, the actors
so I will
fund
include the Actors and, Fund link to this for sure.
Yeah.
Because they have a counseling center, Blanton Peel, okay. that I go to. And there is like, it's a scale.
Yeah.
So it's a like, depending on, you know, what your situation is, like it's super accessible.
Yeah. There's also the National Alliance Mental Health, National Alliance Mental Institution. I should know exactly what the name is. But,
no, but it's
but they
a Google
have,
search will
Yeah, I mean, all over
that.
The country, they have different resources and meetings and volunteer opportunities for all types of people.
That's amazing.
And so many resources. So it's definitely out there for sure.
23-year-old Walt Mendez finally got his dream job working in show business. The only problem is his new boss, a low-level talent agent with rageaholic tendencies.
You're a nice person, Walt. That's going to be a problem. So listen, whatever your impulse is, do the opposite.
When she has a heart attack on his first day, leaving him alone, clueless, and in charge, he discovers some questionable financial dealings led by her dentist husband.
I'm literally doing root canals on anything with insurance.
And he turns to his ruthless predecessor for advice.
Walt, grow a pair. You're in the Hunger Games.
Soon, his shady ex-boyfriend resurfaces, coming on strong and making the job suddenly more attractive.
Am I making you nervous?
A little.
And it's turning you on, isn't it?
All heard through his headset at the office, Rolling Calls is a hilarious dark comedy starring Julie Halston, Richard Kind, Dan Rosales, Matt Doyle, Wesley Taylor, Luis Miranda, Aaron Davey, Brittany Mack, Andrea Macassette, and more. Get ready for Rolling Calls at bpn.fm/rollingcalls or everywhere you listen to podcasts.
When you, did you find that like you figured out you needed these things after this big contract, or it took a while for you to like?
I think after American Idiot, I just felt lost.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what I needed. I just knew I felt really lost.
You're like,
lost.
This isn't good.
Yeah, so. I just went, even my friends were like, you were such a bitch. Like my friends from childhood, they're like, you went through something. And I remember
and
I was
you're
so,
not dealing with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm like, I was so irritable. I'm like, what is happening?
Funny.
So it didn't, that kind of, I felt a little just depressed afterwards. And now I'm like, God, I would die to do that show again.
Yeah. But I felt that after tour too.
Right,
I felt
like touring is hard.
I had to like put the pieces of myself back together again.
And you don't have your people. Yeah. Like now I feel like I could do a tour and I would do it right. I would save my money.
Yep.
Kids, save your money. I would really get out and see everything.
Yeah.
And just I'd have a better mental space.
That's hard though when you're playing the lead on a tour also.
That's the thing. When you're in a really hard show, I'd get so mad at myself because I'm like, why am I not seeing everything? But I'm just so freaking tired.
Yeah.
You're just so tired.
Yeah.
So
you get back, you're like trying to figure yourself out. What did the next time of your life kind of look like?
Then I just I think I did like some other shows here and there, maybe left, do some regional stuff, and then I did Pippin. Then I got Pippin. That was my Broadway debut.
Did you feel like you were pieces of yourself put back together again when you
ready.
Stepped into it?
Yeah. Cool. When I got Pippin, I was in a really good headspace.
Awesome.
I was like, I am ready for this.
Mm.
And
you had done the work.
But I do the work.
Too easy.
That came and it was such Pippin is literally one of the biggest blessings of my life. Mm. I mean, it really changed my life and it was in my life for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And I did it on Broadway and I was covering Patina, the leading player. And Patina and I went to school together, not at the same time, but I was always really intimidated of her and scared of her. And then we met and I mean, we just became sisters and people were always like, God, you're like, you guys are, she's your understudy and you guys are so close. Like no one got it. They're like, doesn't usually happen. And which I don't understand how that could not happen.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's like what someone would respond.
Yeah. And I get the natural feelings that come up, you know, jealousy and, you know, intimidation
but
and
figure it
all
out.
These things, but just like. Choose love. Love.
Totally.
It's just not that deep. You're you. She's you. Like, let's just call it a day.
She's her.
She's her. Oh, yeah. She's you.
She's you. You're you. We're all you.
We're all you. But she took me under her wing. And
that's
if I didn't
amazing.
Have her during that time, I would have just, I definitely crumbled at times. But having her, she was the most incredible mentor. And
so special.
Yeah. Even vocal things that were hard, I would go to her apartment and she would just like coach me through it. You know, it's just we had such an amazing dynamic and I'm so grateful to have her there during that time. But that show was hard as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, that is not easy.
It was so hard, but it was the most incredible group of people.
It was incredible. I saw it.
It's such an amazing show. I mean, I remember before my final callback, I went and saw the show. I was in the last row on the aisle and I cried the whole show. And I just kept thinking, this is the best thing I've ever seen. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I was so moved. And I felt like it was the exact thing I needed in my life at that moment. And it was so cool because it was circus. So we had half of our cast were circus performers. So it didn't really feel like we were doing a musical.
Yeah.
It really felt like we were in the freaking circus.
Mm.
And everybody was coming from different walks of life. You know, we had people from France and Russia and, you know, all the accents and different language barriers. It really just opened us all up.
Wow.
And it's really, that show opened my mind up immensely. But it was very hard, very, very hard. So by the time I was ready to leave, you know, cause it's hard cause you're in rehearsal all the time too, as an understudy or a swing. And
that's
so
also
I
think no one really talks about.
Oh my God.
Of what your schedule really looks like when you're in a show.
That's why I don't want to understudy.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's just, you're there all the time.
Mm.
And when you can just go and do your show at night, it takes so much Stress off.
Also, did you know this? And maybe I talked about this with someone else, but maybe not. So if you go on, this is an equity rule that I make. I have a list of equity rules that I'm like dying to investigate because I just think that they're like barbaric.
Yes.
But that if you step into an understudy role, depending on the role, you could also play your ensemble role while you're doing that. So obviously, if you go on for a leading player, you're not going to be staying in your ensemble role because it's an entire show. But if you're only in act one, or you're only in act two,
you do both.
They can make you do both. And the equity, the rep who responded to a question about it was like, basically the easiest way to explain it is that just because you're in that role for the night, it doesn't mean you're the principal for the night.
What?
Isn't that crazy pants?
That is BS.
And that's also someone like what someone doesn't tell you, like going into it of like, obviously for certain roles, like they're too demanding where you can't step into your ensemble track. But it, and you don't, you get your 1/8 bump to step into the principal track, but you don't get any more compensation for also doing your ensemble track.
Yes, you know, that's not right. This Isn't is a job.
Crazy?
This is a job.
And
we
it's
need
all
to be
the
compensated for all of our jobs.
Totally. And you think of all the different like elements of this, and this is so much of like, you know, you could say like, oh, you have to, you could do double duty and audition and this and that. And you're like, well, if you're an understudy and add that element your life is that show and you're just waiting and you're preparing and trying to stay healthy for when you have to step into it.
I hate it.
It's not for the weak of heart. Erin is also not even strong of heart.
I mean, I'm so happy I've done it for sure because it's taught me so much.
Seriously.
But from my heart and my mental state, it just brings me too much anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of, even though it's odd because sometimes I feel like I thrive in that pressure situation.
Yeah.
So when I'm like thrown on, it's, I'm not in my head.
Yeah.
I just have to go.
Fight or flight.
As opposed to when I'm playing the role all the time, it's easier for me to get in my head because it's just,
absolutely,
you know, the thing you're doing, there's not that extra pressure really.
Yeah.
So I kind of like create the pressure for myself in some weird fucked up way.
Totally. I think we all do though. I think that's a really good way to put it. Like when you're sitting in those things, like, you know, and I've had conversations with understudies about this, but like, you know, when you go on and if something doesn't go right or you crack or you're this, I'm like, it's so hard because it's like one moment.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit, like I have to do it's so complicated. But then even if you're playing the role every night and that happens,
you're
still like kicking yourself.
Where
like,
I'm like, we're doing this. And I'd always have to tell myself, I'm doing this 8 times a week for what, a year or so? Get over it. You're not perfect. You're only human. You're going to crack. You're going to be flat.
It's a human.
You're going to like not land your turn. You're going to forget your line. You know, it just happens. And the more that we can just accept that and be like, okay,
rebound.
That happened. And tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
Because you literally have to do the same thing the next day. And that's the thing. I think that's the thing. As artists, we like get bored. I mean, I know for me, I get bored
of
doing the same thing every day.
Eight
so
times a week, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Like, either don't, I keep wanting to be like, either you mess around.
No, sorry.
Or you create anxiety for yourself. And I've definitely done both.
And there is also validity in both.
Because
you're just trying to find like fresh ways to take it on.
Oh,
and
my God.
Then if you don't, your brain, it will create all these like alternate universes for you.
Yeah.
Did you stay in Pippin for the entire run or did
I chose to leave. Yeah.
I love talking about when people choose to leave shows. I think that's a hard decision. How did you navigate that?
I just was really not happy by the end.
Yeah.
And I was really burned out.
Yeah.
I was really
so
burned
tired.
Out. I was really stressed. And I just didn't like the version of myself that was happening. And also, that was my first time like covering a leading role and being in the ensemble and first time being on Broadway. So I was navigating a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think I was just so burned out.
Yeah.
And
a good thing can turn bad.
Yeah.
When it stops being good, it's time to walk away.
Yeah. And it was such an amazing show and it was hard to leave those people and leave that show. But
that's special though.
I knew I had to peace out. So I actually ended up going to LA. That's when I actually ended up doing Merry-Go-Round.
I was
with
just
going
to say that I think we met right after that. And then you went to
like,
LA.
Oh my God.
You were, I mean, I was in my own. It was also the first time I was understudying a principal.
Yeah, we both were in like transitional
I was 20
phases.
And I was understudying a 41 year old.
Oh my God.
So
did.
Weird.
From oh my, what if was I the character's name?
She was
Betty.
Like,
oh my God.
Guys, I don't even know what show.
The moon
Can you imagine if I would have had to go on next to
I would have
who
loved
shall
that.
Not be named?
Oh my
So funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it was a good transition experience for me because I was playing a principal, but it was so low stress that it actually was like it felt just.
She was Z's favorite.
Z's favorite.
So you got to strut, you got to sing your moments,
just say a line, like, be funny, and it was the perfect show to transition to. That was, you know, not fluff, but just a lot easier, not so intense.
Yeah. So you go to LA.
I go to LA.
Looking for what?
I'm like, I'm going to be on TV.
Fierce.
Because don't we all want to be on TV?
Yeah,
like, quick money. I'm going to be on TV right now. And so I stay with my best friend from childhood there. And I'm there for, I guess, about 8 months.
Yeah, I can't remember how long you were gone.
But I was going through it. Yeah. That's when I started therapy. That's when I went, okay.
Thank you, therapy.
Because then I just started creating all these problems that I was just real confused.
Yeah.
And I probably wasn't confused, but I felt like I was confused. And
it's hard.
I got a job. I worked at a meditation studio.
Yes. Oh my God. I forgot about that.
And during the time, I felt like it was the lowest point of my life. Mm. But now when I look back, oh my God, that's when I grew the most.
Yeah, I feel that.
And so having a normal job was so freaking cool. Mm. And I mean, I didn't want to leave it. I wanted to stay there. And meditation, that's when I got on a spiritual journey. That's when I started meditation, doing more yoga. And now those are essential parts of my life.
Wow.
And that really helped me work between therapy and meditation and yoga. It just helped me work through so much stuff. And so I ended up going back on the road with Pippin as a vacation swing to fill in for someone. Mm. And I was like, this freaking show won't leave me alone. And I just felt like I kept on trying to get away from it. Yeah. But it kept being, no.
You're not done.
And I still felt like I had hangups with the show and like things that, you know, I wish I would have done better or whatever. So I went, just go. So then I come back to LA and then I end up doing a play out there, Peter and the Starcatcher at South Coast Rep.
To this day is one of my favorite things I've ever seen
it's
on stage.
It's literally one of my favorite plays, and I think it's actually my favorite role I've ever played.
I have to imagine how much fun that was to explore.
Oh my God, to do a play and to be the only girl there too, that was really cool. Yes. And I wasn't like, ooh, I got all these men around me. It more was like these guys really took care of me. Like, let's talk about some good men.
Yeah.
I mean, good men and boys. They really took care of me. I felt so safe. I felt so respected and I felt so loved.
That's
and
awesome.
It just was a beautiful, oh my God. It was just so fun. It was so funny. So I did that. And then Pippin was like, do you want to do the leading player on the tour?
Yeah.
And my stomach dropped and I went, oh my God, fuck. And I said, oh God, I'm like, I really don't want to, but I know I have to.
Yeah.
I knew I had to. And I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah.
You know, I did it on the road for, I guess, what was it? A year? 9 months? Maybe 9 months?
Wow, that's a long time.
I think it was 9 months. I joined on the last leg of the tour. And I got to see the world. We went to Tokyo. Ugh. We went to Amsterdam.
Wow.
I learned so much more about myself. I felt in a better place. There were still things that, you know, at that time, looking back, I'm like, oh, I still didn't really like conquer that. But you know what? I just wasn't in that place. And it just was really hard. And I just wasn't there. But it taught me so much. I grew. I was like, okay, I can be a leading lady. Mm. I can do this. I fell in love.
Yeah.
You know, so many beautiful things came to my life because of that show. And I will always be so grateful for Pippin.
That's incredible. And I love, it's probably so interesting for you to like parallel all those different experiences with the show and like the work you did in between them. That then informed like a better process
experience.
After.
Yeah, it really was. I truly learned so much. I feel like it still brings me riches to these days. Like the other day I did a benefit for Stephen Schwartz and they asked me to do Simple Joys. Mm. And I was like, God, I've been singing this song in forever. But coming back to it was so refreshing and, you know, having a new spin on it and to sing for Stephen Schwartz. And actually Ben Vereen ended up coming out too and sang for him. And I just went, this is really freaking cool.
Yeah.
So
it's for like nerdy high school musical theater lover comes out when you just get those like moments of going, oh man, 15-year-old whoever
would be freaking out right now. Yeah. And you're in those, you know, ranks now when you're like, okay, I can do this.
I love that. So now, obviously, you're in the city.
I am in the city.
And what type of work are you chasing? What feelings are you chasing in that work? It sounds like all of these experiences and performing and the life stuff and the dark stuff has informed, you know, how you want to feel and what you want to create. Like, what has that been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been on a Broadway contract, I guess, in the past maybe year and a half.
Yeah.
And
I truly have been so happy, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
Just because you have time to really cultivate the things you really want to do. And I think you're in a Broadway show. You're like, oh, I have time to do my stuff too. But I don't. I don't have the time.
Yeah.
You know, you're exhausted. And, you know, even if you're not doing a lot in a show, you still have to show up and you still have to give 110% and have the energy.
Yeah.
And it just takes your energy.
Yeah.
And you don't really have the extra energy to do your stuff. At least I don't.
I feel like we're like shittier friends when we're in shows. It's so hard to like give anybody anything.
The more and more I think about it, I'm really someone who strives with balance.
Yeah.
You know, I need to have balance in everything. I want to have holidays and, you know, I want to have days off so I can go to family events and all of that stuff. And I think it's necessary to have a fulfilling life.
It's hard not to be able to commit to life stuff.
Yeah.
That's the hardest
part. It's really hard. And I don't know if the schedule is really for me because now I've been doing my own thing and I've actually been doing a lot of freelance gigs.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of concerts everywhere.
I know. I feel like I've been seeing you and so many I couldn't go to your last show. Concert.
Yeah. Well, that was amazing because one of my dear friends, he asked me to do my own show and it's always something I thought about, but I went, at the right time. And I went, you know what? Let's just do it.
Found the right
time. And it was just my favorite night of performing. I feel like I blacked out.
Yeah.
Like it was just, you were so in the moment and I got to do whatever I wanted. I'm like, so I can sing whatever I want. Mm. I can do every style I want. And then I picked all of my favorite people to sing with me. Mm. And it was just a night of love and celebrating what you want to do. And I think I'm in a place now where I want to do what I want to do. I want to create my own stuff and I want to create with my friends.
I love
that. And I'm seeing that that's happening. I'm literally, my friend produced the show. Like I shot a web series that my friend from college wrote and, it's just friends working with friends. And I'm like, I have super talented friends and let's just get together and do our own stuff and be our own bosses and be in charge. And it's so great to do the other shows too, of course, but to do it on your own terms is something that I want to do more.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I'm also getting way more opinionated where I'm like, if something's not right, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
That is, I think it's so interesting too. Like, I think a lot of people have given me the advice throughout my life and career of like, create your own stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think you actually know what that is until you step into it. So it's hard because if you're just looking because you're feeling, you know, not happy in what you're doing and you're like, well, I should just create. And you just kind of start nervously grabbing at things. Like, because you get that advice and you're like, I don't know how that's authentic to me yet.
Yeah.
And I think you figure it out.
Well, it's about waiting.
Yeah.
You know, it's about being in the process of where you're at. I'm such a person where it's really hard for me to just sit in the process. I just want to get to the end.
Yeah.
So if I feel like even if I know something needs to happen, I'm like, okay, well, I need to get there now. And then I think, why is this not working?
Yeah.
I'm like, because you're not supposed to be there yet. And that's okay. Just be where you're at. And that's something I need to remind myself more of. Like, just be where you're at and not where you think you should be.
Yeah. I think that's such good advice too. And it's like the dumb run your own race line, and we can like explore that more so it doesn't feel like it's just like your grandma giving your advice like run your own race for it. You can do this. But it is like also realizing that the more time you give yourself to explore other things or to explore that thing that you're obsessed with or whatever it is, like you may either discover it's not for you
totally
and you'll feel brave stepping into something else, or you see it is for you and then that hunger just like continues to build. But it can only be informative of, you know, what is meant for you.
Totally. And just surrendering.
Exactly. Yeah. You're incredible. I love you so deeply.
I feel like I just said therapy.
Oh! I don't know if there's a greater compliment that you could have given me.
Yes.
So we kind of, I always say we. I think I feel weird because, well, I think I said we even when it was like just me at Ripley Greer. But now it really feels like a we because of Broadway Podcast Network. But I always say we because I feel weird as an I.
Yeah. Okay.
Like being like, I have questions, but
I do. Well, you do have questions.
I do. I don't know why.
Come at everybody else, but
me
you
and my
and
business.
Your questions. Girl, own your business. This is your business.
I appreciate you. Me and my business, have kind of like rapid fire questions to finish it off with you.
Okay.
Human questions. Don't worry.
Okay.
What other job would you have if you weren't a performer?
I think an interior designer. Girl, I love a nice apartment.
Oh.
And
you could do.
I'm showing my
that
house.
In 2 seconds.
I know, but it's too much work.
Copy.
I think I like just designing my places and my spaces. But when it comes to actually doing it for people, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Your space. Safe haven. Yeah,
my space.
Understood.
But I love design.
Maybe you can hook me up.
Girl.
You could give me input.
Yeah, I'll give you input. Okay, Pinterest, okay. Honey. Pinterest is the go-to.
That's fair.
Yes.
What animal would you be if you could be any animal?
If what I think I am or what I would want to be?
Oh, both. What else?
Well, I think I'm definitely some kind of like tiger or lion or something. But I don't know if I'd want to be that animal.
That's
I feel
fair.
Like I'd want to be just a chill animal. Like a koala or something. A unicorn.
They'll rip your freaking throat out, I think, koalas. I think they're cute until they're not.
They're cute like until they're not.
You're like, oh, and they're like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe is fierce.
I mean, I love dogs. I love dogs.
I'm like, shall we all come back as a golden retriever?
I mean, I could be a dog. I can mess with that.
There's so many. I can mess with that
life. I can mess with that.
I welcome that.
What's your favorite food and drink?
I love red wine.
Ah, yes.
I really love red wine.
It gives me the sniffles. I'm allergic to it.
You're allergic?
I know. It's so sad.
Oh, my God.
I know. I get sick instantly. Like, it's just, like, stuffed up.
What?
Can't breathe. Yeah. It's awful.
Girl, I'm sorry.
I know. Okay. It's so sad. I just smell it.
Well, I love it. You just smell it. Just sniff it in. Well, I love red wine and water.
Yes. Also great.
Food. I love a burger and fries.
Burger and
to
fries
this day,
is, like, my favorite.
I love a burger and fries.
I love that answer. That's definitely one of mine, too.
Yeah.
What's something you couldn't live without? It could be an object. It can be an experience. It could be a person.
It's like, I want to say my family, but I know I'm going to have to live without them someday. So I don't want to get too attached to that answer.
I could lose my chapstick, though, and I say I can't live without my chapstick. So I guess it's
I can't live without a bathtub, to be honest. And I'm so mad because in the apartment I live in, it has a bathtub, but it's old.
New York bathtubs, man.
It's so old. And it just doesn't feel like a safe space
for
me to sit in. So I haven't been able to take a bath in my apartment since I've lived there.
That's so
and
funny.
And I have to have a bath. Baths are so calming for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I love a bath.
I've never been a bath girl. And I feel like maybe at some point in my life, I'll step into that when I have a home that
I mean, I don't sit in there that long.
I'll try it.
I'm like the worst bath person. I stay there for like 5 minutes.
But if that's all you need,
I know.
That's all you
I get
need.
The calming thing, and then I don't like being that still.
Yeah, I'm exactly in the shower. I'm literally like planning.
Oh, in the shower,
next
you could be. That's so true. In the shower, you can be there forever.
I'm just sitting there, like leaning against the wall. Like Jake will say to me sometimes, "Just go soak. Go like get your mind off of things." I'm like, yeah. And I get in the shower, and I'm like, so in 20 years, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And then I'm going to like fix the world of this. I'm like, showers don't calm me.
Yeah.
I like solve all the world's problems
in
them.
That's so true. It's because you're sitting in a pool of hot ass water.
Your brain
and
is like
it's just,
fired.
It's just hot. And I don't like being that hot.
Yeah. I hear you on that. Wow. I love that answer. I don't even know what question I asked you. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, God.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, God. I feel like there's so many.
I know.
Oh, God.
It's like open mouth chewing is when I think of like right away, too.
Yeah. I do make mouth noises.
Mouth noises are not too bad.
Yeah, chewing. But... Yeah, chewing. My brother chews with his mouth open all the time. I'm like, Jaren, stop. Close your mouth. It's just so big.
Yeah.
I guess it would be kind of like qualities and like a friendship and stuff. And I don't like obnoxious people. But like, I know I can be really obnoxious too. So
subjective quality.
Subjective quality. Pet peeve. Okay. Yes. We live in New York City. Get off your phone when you're walking in the street. Just get off your phone.
That's a consistent one on here.
And yeah, it's just put your phone down. And I'm a culprit of doing that sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
me
I
too.
Take my phone out, but I really feel like I'm able to navigate people
too.
Around me.
Yeah.
But a lot of times now, if I need to do something on my phone, I'll pull to the side, like you're in a car,
mm-hmm.
and you stop and handle your business.
Yep.
But the people who are just on their phone and just lost and just texting and stuff, it's so freaking annoying. You're just holding up traffic. And New York is a fast-paced place. Like, if you can't keep up, get out.
I hear that. I always say use your turn signal, use your blinkers.
Because then people start pushing you.
People will put their hands on you.
I mean, I've had thoughts that I want to, like, hit someone, and that's not good.
I know. It brings out, like, the Rocky side of you. You can't help it. It makes you, like, savage here. What is happiness to you?
Oh, my God. Happiness.
It could be a feeling, a place, an experience, anything.
Definitely be with my family and my friends. That is pure happiness. And just like laughing. I think laughing.
I think laughing is pure happiness for me. I love laughing, especially with my friends. We just cackle and cackle and cackle. And just like grounded in gratitude, just remembering to be grateful. Like even today, I was like not in a great space and I was just spiraling and just thinking like sad and complaining. But now being here and being with a friend and talking things out, I'm like, you know what? It's the simple things, you know, it's just, it's all okay. Like you're where you need to be, you know, don't judge the present moment. Just happiness is in the present moment, you know?
I love that. I love that answer. And that's very much of like, I'm in that space as well.
Yeah.
Day by day.
Just take it day by day. And also knowing that feelings are fleeting, you know, it will pass.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be like this forever. And, you know, without, you can't have the light without the dark.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have both. And I think, you know, especially when things are going good, you want them to stay so good.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I feel like I have anxiety about things not staying good.
I self
sabotage. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, is it going to like go away, go away? And then when things are bad, I like, so cannot get out of this. Yeah. It's like, and it's so hard to get out of it. But knowing that you got to have these bad or thinking about? Like you think they're bad moments, but really it's just able to grow you. Like if you look at it in that kind of way, this is happening to me so I can grow.
Growth
or
comes
you can
from
sit
discomfort.
In it. Yeah,
totally.
Growth comes from discomfort and I feel uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah.
And I think I'm always searching for comfort, but I know I think I'm a person that I always want to grow.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just always going to be uncomfortable
like,
for the rest
up.
Of my life.
Like, you have to do this.
Yeah.
Lady, you are incredible. I'm
you.
So happy we had this time together.
Girl,
and I'm really excited to share this.
Yes.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you.
You nailed it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Abroad's Way is produced by the badass team over at Broadway Podcast Network. You can head over there now to visit me online. You can also discover all of the other amazing podcasts just like this one. Thank you guys so much.